Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Everybody, welcome to Bois, King of the Hill podcast. I'm Mike.
Yeah, and I'm Rusty, and I was late this morning, Mike. I was late. We got a lot of eclipse hoopla.
Yeah, we're currently talking to you on the day of the eclipse. Today is Sunday that we're recording, and it's the day before.
The eve. Eclipse eve.
Our city has gone insane over this freaking eclipse.
Yeah, inundated.
It's 4 minutes, and schools are out. They're telling us not to go downtown. I've heard figures of 100,000 people are coming. Then I talked to somebody else, and they say 200,000 people. I talked to a kid last night. He goes, I don't know what they're going to do with that million people that's coming here. That is bullshit. There's no way people
I feel
are coming
like there's an Airbnb map that I saw.
Well, that's a whole different.
And what they had is it was a map of all the sold-out Airbnbs, and it had this that they used color red to signify sold out. And the line went all the way through the entire continental United States.
So tell me the difference between like if there's a hurricane and stores charge more for wood as opposed to there is an eclipse.
Okay,
and
so one is price gouging. One is price gouging in times of disaster. No, it's not price. I don't think it's price gouging. No, not in a sense. It's supply and demand, and the demand for the supply went up when the population.
Here's my only argument
exploded.
With that. Right, is that all these places have declared states of emergency?
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case,
no, I agree. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, shit.
I do know, though, that me and my son earlier were going through downtown and stealing license plates. I've got 32 of 50 states now.
Sure.
So yeah, there's a lot of people in town from everywhere. Yeah. A couple of Florida, some Oklahomas, Montana. I think the furthest away I saw was a Canadian license plate.
They make great belt buckles.
Oh, yeah, but they do. I've never seen a belt buckle made out of them before. That would be a good idea, yeah. No, but I saw
a
Canadian
license
plate.
Buckle. Really?
A Canadian license plate.
I didn't think they had license plates in Canada.
Yeah, on a Toyota Tundra. Mm.
A Toyota Tundra.
Yeah, it was like a jacked up Toyota
it's
Tundra.
Very specific.
And that's what I was thinking is like, why would you drive all the way from Canada in this jacked up Toyota Tundra? Somebody with more money than sense, because the fuel cost alone.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine it costs you a ton. And that's the other thing is gas. Gas has gone up. Like
Manitoba.
50 cents a gallon since,
I don't know what the distance between Manitoba
week.
And us is, but
it's ridiculous. All right, so we are at season 5, episode 16. As long as the vortex doesn't suck us up, we'll be here again next week. This is Season 5, episode 16, 5ABE11. So we're going backwards.
Sorry to interrupt you, but those Canadians drove 1,200 miles. That's a 1,200-mile drive.
Well,
that's
I'm
like
sure.
24-hour drive.
I'm sure it was very nice, and they thanked everybody as they went through the states.
Oh, eh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys got any poutine? Eh?
Mm.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I love poutine.
It's just fries and gravy.
That's what I'm saying. Right? I mean, it's great. Yeah.
You can't mess up fries and gravy.
Fries, gravy, and cheese.
It makes the fries soggy, but if you like soggy
I'm
fries.
I'm okay with that.
I'm
yeah, right it's the same
that.
Thing. Chili
I like
cheese fries.
It's
you
like
know?
A chili cheese potato, yeah. With gravy.
All right. This one is entitled Hank's Choice.
Hank's Choice, which we got an Artie. We'll go ahead and
jump Nobel,
off
no
with
Yelp,
Artie's.
By the way. Go ahead.
The title refers to the movie Sophie's Choice,
yep.
Which was also a book, I believe, too.
It was.
Starring Meryl Streep, the great underrated Kevin Kline, big Kevin Kline fan.
Yeah. No, he's very good.
Wild West was where I first, like. Yeah.
Not crazy about that movie,
that's
but.
That's the first experience I had with Kevin Kline.
Fish
and
Called
I was,
Wanda's great.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Well, you know, as a kid, you're exposed to what you're exposed to at that time.
Oh, absolutely.
Kevin Kline was my first movie of watching of his was the Wild West, and the fact that he played so many different things and all this subterfuge, like it showed his acting chops, I think, really good.
Kevin Kline has always been one of those guys that feels like he should be with like Albert Brooks and some of those old TV guys and stuff like that. I don't know why, but he just seems like one of those guys.
And for those of you that don't know about Sophie's Choice, it came out in 82. It was about a Holocaust survivor.
Crazy buddy comedy, right?
It's actually a dark movie, but
very dark.
Yeah, it was about the Spielberg. Holocaust survivor. Yeah, Spielberg, yeah, for sure.
Black and white.
Shown to be at a concentration camp during World War II, where she made a choice which child was to be killed and which was to be spared.
Oh, no, that's it wasn't Spielberg. Sophie. I was thinking Schindler's List.
You're thinking of Schindler's List. I don't know who did this movie, to be honest with you. It was where she had
Kevin
to choose
Smith.
Between her son or her daughter. And if she chose neither, she would die. So it's a very philosophical, thoughtful thing.
Sure.
It was actually nominated for 5 Academy Awards. And Meryl Streep won Best Actress that year.
If it's about people with cancer or kids dying, you're going to get nominated for the most
Meryl
part.
Streep.
Yeah,
if you're Meryl Streep, you're probably going to get nominated.
That's true, too.
You know, she could be in a buddy cop movie with Martin Lawrence and somebody.
Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, Martin Lawrence
Martin
and
Lawrence.
Will Smith, and she would probably get nominated for
Martin
an Oscar.
Lawrence and Meryl Streep together again. All right, Hank's Choice. We start this one at the Hill House. Well, we actually come through the alley and see all the trash cans, and then Hank drives up into his driveway, and there's a trash can just sitting right in the middle of it, and he's like, oh, Bobby. He goes in. He's kind of disgusted. He runs into Peggy, who is coming out of Bobby's room with food on a tray, kind of like in a hospital or something, and she says, shh, Bobby is in what I hope is not his deathbed. Yeah, way to overreact, Peggy.
Way to overreact.
And then over the walkie-talkies that they have, Bobby says, more juice, crazier straw. Peggy picks up hers and just says, roger that. They're like 5 feet away from each other.
Yeah, they're right next to each other for sure, yeah.
So Hank goes in. Bobby's in his PJs. He's in the bed. He's coughing. He's throwing Kleenexes over to the side. And there's a big humidifier in there that's churning. Hank's glasses immediately fog up. He goes, hey, son, are you sick? He goes, don't kiss me, Dad. I could be contagious. Like he's going to kiss
don't
him.
Don't kiss me,
that
Dad.
That never happens.
That's funny. Don't kiss me, Dad.
He coughs and sneezes, and then Hank takes his temperature, and it comes out to 98.6. He goes, looks normal. He goes, put that on my headstone, will you? Good God.
Yeah, chisel it on the headstone.
This poor kid. I mean, think of all the influence from Peggy he has, and then all the battling influences from Hank.
Yeah, he's got a lot of influence. Speaking of headstones, my dad used to work for a monument company when I was a kid. Well, he worked there for a long time.
There's
like
a couple of big
years.
Ones here in town, too.
He actually worked for the largest in town.
Did
the
he?
The one on LaSalle,
yeah.
Big green lettering or whatever, Phipps. He worked there for a number of years. But one of the cool experiences as a kid was in the summertime.
Dead body.
Well, no, I've got a crazier story about dead bodies than that. But as a kid, in the summertime, my mom would take him lunch if he was in town, because he would be out of town a lot.
Sure.
You know, he was all over Texas.
People dying everywhere.
Tombstones.
Sure.
And we would go have lunch. And my little sister, she was real little. She's like 6 years younger than me. So, you know, she's like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old.
Yeah.
And that's one of her fondest memories as a kid, is going and having lunch with the dead people. That's what she would say.
That's what she called it?
That's what she would say as a real little kid, like two, three, funny. 4 years old. Yeah. She would go tell my mom, hey, we're going to go have lunch with the dead people today.
It's not bad
and
at all.
She would like talk really to like the tombstones and stuff like that and wander around the...
Yeah,
I don't know if it's cute.
Well, I'm saying
it's fucking morose.
When you hit like 12, 15 years old, it gets morose. When you're little,
two or three,
it's
four,
probably
it's
cute.
Whimsical, almost. Yeah. It would almost be a creepy movie. Because
you're just being nice. You know, you're just like,
you don't really understand
hello,
death.
Piggy.
Yeah.
Just for 1 second, let's talk about humidifiers.
Yeah, humidifiers.
Have you used a lot of humidifiers?
No, not really. I've not.
I would say that 75% of my childhood, I had a humidifier in my room.
Yeah, no, I wish.
I had a lot of allergies, congestion, all that stuff. So my mother thought that would fix it. It did not. It just made everything wet.
Yeah, you know? It didn't really.
Now, let's talk about.
It makes your whole room kind of damp, doesn't it?
Now, a dehumidifier, I've had those before also. Yeah. And what that does is suck the water out of the air.
Okay. Doesn't that make it like hard? Well, wouldn't that help more with allergies than?
I would think so. Yeah, but at the time, all we had were humidifiers with steam, and yes, it makes everything kind of moist or damp. It
makes the whole room moist.
Yeah, it's gross.
I've got experience with ozone generators.
Ozone? Oh, okay.
Have you ever used an ozone generator?
I don't think I've ever used one. I've seen them.
Yeah, it pumps a room full of ozone.
Yeah,
and it pretty much like. Makes it smell like a hospital room, like completely kills all the, like a neutral smell.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter. Like even if it's just like a good smells, you know, even if it's, if you use Scentsy and your house smells like Scentsy, it just neutralizes.
Is it good for you?
All smell. You're not supposed to sit in a room and breathe it. No, it destroys your lungs.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. What it does to your lungs is pretty bad. I'm not sure what it is. It does. I don't remember off top of my head.
Dezones them.
I looked it up and it was like, not really good. It's really bad. Yeah. Pretty quick, pretty bad.
Huh.
But you're supposed to use it in the room, leave the room.
So it's like...
Come in with the, like your mouth covered.
It's like bombing
and
for bugs or something.
I think it's equally bad.
It's just the opposite, basically, of bombing for bugs, right?
Yeah.
Because it's killing the stuff in the air, not the stuff
you're
you can see.
You're pumping it full of
O3. I don't know.
I think is what ozone is, O3.
All right, so at least. Next we see Peggy in her office. She is just diligently surfing and figuring out what's going on with her boy.
Computer.
She says, "You know, it frightens me to think we raised Bobby for 12 years without the internet. Parents without the internet should have their children taken away." Okay, great, Peggy. That's not an overreaction at all.
Parents without the internet should have their kids taken away. It's funny because now
it's like 80% of the world.
Well, now it's the opposite. Everybody's like, get off the internet. It's the devil.
Well,
have you ever heard of the? It's some kind of something. Dead internet theory. Have you heard of the dead internet theory?
What's a dead internet
theory? The internet doesn't have, like, all of the content and everything we consume has no humans. It's all AI and generated stuff. That's what we're in. And then it's all bots and AI generation is what the entire internet is.
I kind of see that, I guess.
I don't think it's completely dead.
Especially
there,
now that
it's
they're
a dying internet. I remember how organic the internet used to be as a kid when it first came out. And now it's like, I don't know. It's just, there's no organic. I don't know how to explain it. Really, it just doesn't seem organic anymore.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't seem as fluid.
I was looking on my phone because we watched a thing last night. It's on Netflix, and it's new. It's about the internet and 4chan and the January 6th stuff.
Okay,
it was really fascinating for them to talk about. I didn't realize that there was a 2chan before 4chan. That was in Japan.
Yeah.
And they saw the same type of stuff happen. The alt-right rose over there, and they had all kinds of problems with it. And then this kid, I mean, he couldn't have been more than like 17. He copied all of their code, moved it over, called it 4chan, and opened it up for Americans. And then it just started eating itself, you know?
Yeah, it's...
That's where Anonymous came from.
I don't know. I think it's kind of crazy how those, like, I think it's anywhere there's anonymity, you have, like, this extreme...
Yeah.
Either direction, you know what I mean? It's not a bias. It's either direction, left or right, whatever you want to
call it. I was telling my wife last night that, you know, it's basically... The symptom are it's not the cause. It's the symptom of all of these people feeling this way. You know, they all feel disenchanted. They all feel, you know, like they're not part of society or whatever.
All they got to do is take a shower, trim their beard or their hair a little bit.
Just the part right here, right around their neck.
Yeah, around their neck, and dress a little nicer.
Sure.
You know, like.
Yeah.
And it'll go a long way.
Well, I think getting out of the basement probably too.
That's the thing.
And that was the weird thing about this is they all came out of their basements.
That incel
basically.
Crap. Like,
well,
I just,
that's
it's
a
just,
whole different thing.
Well, because yeah. that's, I mean, it's almost borderline what it is. It's just something I never understood. Yeah. I just don't get it. Like, why? Like,
there's a ton of anti-feminism, anti-women. I mean, it's just, it's sickening, honestly, some of the stuff that these people say. You know, they went in and they took over a website and, then they all started making these African-American avatars with big afros and stuff, and they would go close down virtual pools and businesses and stuff like that on the internet, and then they would put them in swastika formation and all that.
Damn.
I mean, it's just it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's unfettered access to the internet is
That's what it is.
And it's a bunch of kids. It's a bunch of stupid kids.
Teenagers.
It's what they do.
It's what it is. A bunch of teenagers
on
the internet saying shit.
Yeah, you just gave them keys.
I'm going to be honest. If I went back and saw everything that I posted anonymously as an edgy teenager, I'd probably be sick with myself too.
Well, and I guess one of the biggest things for me to see out of that is how it grew, became what it was, and then they did the Wall Street shutdown.
Yeah.
And then everybody was gassed and taken away and arrested and all this stuff. There is no peaceful protest in this country anymore. You know, it's pretty well gone.
It gets wild.
So
yeah,
it's a little depressing, but it's a very good documentary. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it's brand new on Netflix and talks about 4chan. Okay, so we're in Peggy's office. She's searching real hard. She says that parents without the internet should have their children taken away. Hank says, "What's it say?" She goes, "He has cedar fever or a sinus infection, or he may be allergic to something else. I do not know. We have to take him to the doctor."
Which cedar fever is an allergic reaction to juniper trees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mountain cedar.
They're the ones that have cedar?
Yeah, they call it
mountain
cedar.
I thought they were cedar trees.
Well, mountain cedar, a.k.a. juniper. Juniper is a cedar tree.
Oh, okay.
It's called cedar fever. Even though most people don't get a fever, it's just allergy stuff.
Which is
pollens.
I would imagine that comes from the fact that if you are exposed to it long enough, you then get a sinus infection, you then get a fever, you get, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Hank says, "How do you know it isn't just a runny nose? His temperature's normal. You know, when I was his age, I painted the living room with a separated shoulder." Okay, Hank, thanks.
All right, Hank.
Peggy
says,
you're
everybody's hero, bro.
Peggy says, "I am searching the web as fast as I can. Apparently, there's a local rock band named Cedar Fever, and it's complicating my research." That's very funny. Now we're at Strickland. The phone starts ringing. Hank picks it up. "Strickland propane, taste the meat, not the..." And then you hear Peggy go, "Okay, there's no time for that. Hank, I am over at the doctor's office with Bobby, and there's something you will want to know right away." He goes, "Well, is there something wrong?" And he hears Bobby in the background going, "Ah!" And she says, "Get over here." Hank runs out. He drives over to the West Arlen Medical Center, where Bobby and Peggy are. He comes in to the room with the doctor and Peggy and Bobby, and he says, "Bobby, thank God, what happened?" He says, "They were pricking my back with pins," and he has all of those dots on his back.
Yeah, my son, my oldest, he had to go through a bunch of allergy stuff when he was young, and that's what they do is they prick you with all of these little different allergens and see which ones cause a reaction on your back and which ones don't.
I bet I've had that done 5 times.
I've never had it done. Yeah. I know I have allergies because I know how things make me feel and I know what allergies are, but I've never been to like a doctor, an allergy doctor, and been diagnosed or anything
they
like that.
They did it two or three times when I was a kid, and then maybe only once as an adult, but I was allergic to so much stuff that they would do my back, down my arms, part
that's
of my legs.
How my son was,
And then you get those whelps, and you're like, this can't be good. You know, this can't be good.
Well, that's what
you.
He would say, because he was real young when we started the processes, because they did it a few times as he was growing, because his allergies diminished.
Yeah.
As he got older,
well, it was the same for me.
It got less and less and less that he was reactive to. And
I used to couldn't eat red beans, period.
He's
just could not eat beans.
He never had a food allergy. All his allergies were green related, grass, trees.
Yeah, well, same here.
Every type of tree or grass.
All of that had the horse dander, cats, dogs, grass, all the
He luckily didn't have the pet stuff.
I should have lived in a bubble is what I should have lived.
Well, maybe his allergies weren't as bad as yours then. But his allergies were all like grass and tree related. Yeah, he was allergic to every, like just touching regular grass.
See, I didn't have that.
Would make him like have like him like break out, and he'd get like not like break out, but he would.
No,
all
I get
the
what
allergy
you're
symptoms would come out. All his head would get stuffy and stuff like that.
No, I absolutely get what you're saying.
Allergies suck.
They
it's
do
like
suck.
The worst
They're
thing
terrible.
On earth.
They're terrible.
And if you have tuberculosis, the best place to live is a dry desert area. So that's what it feels like with allergies. It feels like tuberculosis.
Hank says, oh, you're getting an allergy test. You still want that Merlin tattoo? He says to Bobby. And Bobby's sitting there with no shirt. He's got all the pinpricks on his back and stuff. Peggy busts in. She goes, Hank, it's not good. And it's about Bobby. And she whispers that right in front of Bobby. But she whispers it like, and it's about Bobby.
And it's about Bobby. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, she's not a very tactful human
Not at all. Not at all. Now they're in the doctor's office. The doctor says, Bobby's having an allergic reaction to dander. Your wife tells me you have a dog. And Hank's like, oh, slow down there, Charlie.
Hold your horses.
I don't know why he's calling him Charlie.
Hold your horses, bud.
Now, what does a dog have to do with anything? Doctor says, Bobby's allergic to the dog. He says, oh, you said dander. How do you know that Peggy doesn't have the dander? She gives him the ugliest stare. He goes, well, you're in that
Peggy's
school.
Peggy's got the dander.
He goes, well, you're in that school with those kids from all over. She got lice once. Peggy says, Hank, that test was specifically for dog dander, and you came home from Mexico with a butt worm.
Okay, so have we hit that episode yet?
I don't remember a butt worm.
So
I was thinking that same thing as I was watching
so
this.
So I'm thinking this is the production order thing again. But I don't remember her having a butt worm, but I do remember the beer where they all go down to where she works for the call center for Alamo in Mexico.
Well,
and
also
she's doing like the Spanish call center stuff, which is hilarious.
Well, also the MTV thing down at well, that I guess that was like the coast,
like the spring break stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking that was Mexico for a minute.
No, because I remember that one episode because all the boys drive down to Mexico to go drink beer, and the only one that doesn't get sick because he was the driver was Bill.
Is that the one where they come back on the motorcycles and then one of them breaks down and then they're all riding on one motorcycle kind of thing?
No, that's that weird.
That's the one where they cross the border and then come back.
We already did that episode, I think, where it was Con, Hank, and Bill maybe, and somebody said, you got to be in the middle. And
they
it was
drove,
like a,
they drove over the border and Hank didn't know it or something. It was something like
they
that.
They shared a condo in Mexico. That's what Artie. Artie's in chat here with us on
Instagram. Hey, Artie.
And for those of you that don't know, we do stream live on Instagram every time we record.
Yep.
I don't know when we record because sometimes it changes. Mostly
it
on a Sunday. Here lately, it's been consistently more consistent
pretty
on
much Sunday.
It was called The Lucky Pierre with Con.
That's right.
And The Lucky Pierre.
I remember that. It's the man in the middle.
The man in the middle.
Yeah, that's enough. Just a man in the middle.
Sexual tryst or whatever you call it. Yeah.
The doctor says allergies can come and go suddenly and mysteriously. It's a fascinating field. You could try bathing Ladybird 3 times a week, then vacuuming her. And Hank says, oh, I already do that. So he bathes this dog 3 times a week and vacuums his dog.
I don't know. That's a little excessive.
Seems like it, yeah.
Excessive.
Peggy says, Hank, that dog is going out of the house. Look, if you want a dog inside, it says right here that there are several hypoallergenic breeds of dogs, such as poodles or hairless. All right, so this next quote is something you probably couldn't say today. But Hank says, a poodle? Why not go all the way and just get me a cat and a sex change operation?
That's funny. That's still a funny joke.
Can't we just give Bobby something? The doctor says, well, you could give him daily shots, but Bobby, we had enough trouble with the pinpricks. There are pills, but they don't often work, and the side effects include drowsiness, hives, rectal bleeding, and most people find it much simpler just to get rid of the dog. Hank says, we'll try the pills.
We'll try the pills.
Jesus.
Speaking of things you can't say anymore, Kramer is supposed to be coming back with Jerry Seinfeld
to do
a show. And Jerry Seinfeld, they're supposed to be doing, I don't, what's his name?
Michael Richards.
Michael Richards is, Jerry Seinfeld released a statement that he's doing a special or something. I think he's going to have Kramer. Maybe it's a stand-up thing. I don't know. There weren't a lot of details about what they were creating.
Yeah.
But he pretty much said that, I think he's funny. And if you don't like it, watch a different show.
Well, he is a funny guy. He
got mad at a heckler and said some things he shouldn't have said. Yeah.
But I think they were also taken out of context. Like, it was supposed to be jokes and stuff like that.
It was just like they did with Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah,
I think he's the most recent comedian I could think of that got canceled for something, and that almost, you know, that kind of affected his management and all kinds of stuff.
Shane Gillis, too. Yeah, Shane Gillis. Yeah.
But see, that's the thing with
But then he gets to be a star.
Tony Hinchcliffe, too, he made a it was an Asian joke that was taken out of context because his opener is the one that recorded him after he opened for him, and then he went and released the snippet. And then went on a tour of media. So he was trying to get clout from it, and it ended up actually backfiring on him because I don't even know what that guy's name is, but Tony Hinchcliffe obviously is
pretty big in the comedy world. Gottfried getting fired from the Affleck?
No, I don't remember that at all.
There was a tsunami in Asia and a long time ago.
Right. Yeah.
But it came in and wiped out and stuff. And then he made a joke about getting his Chinese food faster or something.
Ooh-wee.
And like the next thing, the phone rang, Affleck dropped him. So now when you hear that duck go, Affleck, that is not him.
Oh, it's not him
hasn't
anymore.
Been for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's dead now. But
Yeah. Rest in peace to a legend there.
Oh, he was a legend, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No, I really like Gilbert Gottfried's stand-up. I don't really like his voice, but it worked for him.
My wife hates his voice.
I like Iago, the Aladdin, like that whole character he did. That was really good.
I mean, that was a big deal. All right, so we're in the alley with all four guys. Dale says, you just say the word and Lady Bird will die a mysterious death. I know several poisons that have a meaty taste dogs love. Bill says, you know, Hank, I could take in Lady Bird. She sniffed me once and did not look displeased. Hank says, thanks, Bill, but Lady Bird deserves better than that.
That's awful.
And then Bill literally says, oh, I know. He says,
that's an awful thing to say to your friend.
When I was growing up, we had a dog that kept outside in its own little house. Dale says, Hank doesn't want your old dog. He goes, no, Bill's right. I could build Lady Bird a dog house. I was going to build her one when she was a puppy, but Bobby came along. I got sidetracked, make it a crib. Maybe this is a second chance I've been waiting for. So the next thing we see is Hank is measuring Lady Bird with a tape measure.
Yep.
And then he's building a doghouse. And from the scenes that we see, we think he's building an actual doghouse. No, he's building a tiny little replica so that then he can then build the doghouse over
that. Over it.
And the boys are looking at it. He goes, now, if you have any suggestions for improvements, make them now before I file the permits. Damn, Hank, just by the rules every single time. Dale says, all right, looks too small. He says, it's a model, Dale. In that case, just right. All right, Peggy opens the sliding glass door. She says, Hank, Bobby's only breathing through his mouth. I'm afraid to bring him lunch. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hank is outside finishing the luxury doghouse. He goes, give Bobby some more pills. I still have to put in the baseboards and bolt the walls to the foundation. She goes, gee, Hank, I would love to give our son another handful.
Bolt the walls to the foundation. Yeah. That's not a sentence I've ever heard related to a doghouse.
No, you shouldn't be. A foundation, period.
Yeah.
She says, Hank, I would love to give our son another handful of pills, but he's been asleep for 18 hours. Hank says, look, I'm just as concerned as you are, Peggy, but I need more time. I can't have a dog in there licking at exposed wiring. And then Peggy gets on all fours and crawls in the door of the doghouse. And she goes, this floor is warm. He goes, oh, that's the radiant subfloor heating. You know, 80% of a dog's heat loss is through its pads. Okay, that figure came from the radiant floor people, so it might be a little high.
That's funny.
All right, next, we're having a ribbon cutting to open the doghouse.
Yep, ribbon cutting.
Seems like a lot.
I got an Artie fact here.
Yeah,
so,
man, go.
Lady Bird already has an outside sleeping situation. You never really see it, but in one episode, Pregnant Pause, season 3, episode 4,
mm-hmm.
where Dale leaves a note about taking Lady Bird on a bounty hunter adventure or whatever, and Hank calls it Barkingham Palace.
Yeah.
But it's never shown ever again. So.
Well, that's what he calls it here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so she crawls in. He tells her it's subradiant floor heating. So we're at the cutting the ribbon, dedicating the doghouse. Everybody's gathered around. Hank, Peggy, Bobby, Joseph, Dale, Boomhauer, Nancy, Luann, Lady Bird, they're all around this thing. Bobby is just sneezing and wiping his nose the whole time. And I need to talk to you about that at the end.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea what this was.
I need to talk to you about all these stolen license plates and arrange
where
bail.
I can hide them.
No, I just need to arrange bail. I'm pretty sure there's cameras all downtown.
Hank says, although we move you into Barkingham Palace today, we'll always leave a doggy door open into our hearts. And we hope that you have made your home as wonderful as you have made ours these last 13 years.
You know what's crazy?
He's like cracking up, man.
He built this palace for a dog that's literally dead.
That's true.
Like 13 dog's year got like 2 years old left. Hound dog?
Yeah.
That's an old hound dog.
Yeah, it is.
A really old hound dog. That's an underworked hound dog. That's a hound dog that's never hounded.
He says, okay, Luann, champagne. And she pulls out the bottle, cracks it, and it goes. The champagne goes down the roof right into the gutters on the dog. The doghouse has freaking gutters. He gets down and whispers to Lady Bird, forgive me. And then they cut the ribbon.
That's crazy. It's so wild. It's just it's a dog. I mean, I love you know, the animals I've had, but I would never go to those lengths. Like, just sleep at the foot of my bed and call it good.
No, I'm not doing that. So he opens a little door, and Lady Bird does not go in. Dale goes, push her in. We all came to see the opening of a doghouse. Lady Bird turns around, just walks right back inside the house. Peggy is very upset. Hank says, this can't be easy. She slept at the foot of our bed for 13 years. Don't blame Lady Bird. Blame me. Peggy says, of course I blame you.
Of course I blame you. Yeah.
Hank says, I made the architect's first mistake. I designed it for me, not the client. I can do this fast, I promise. Okay, grand reopening in 36 hours. This time, no gifts. And then Bill comes around the corner on his riding lawnmower with sparklers and red, white, and blue streamers and a Uncle Sam hat on. He goes, oh, no, Bill, not today. Abort, abort. I really enjoyed seeing Bill on a mower with all the sparklers and stuff.
Yeah, it's wild. the grand opening of a doghouse. These guys will party for anything.
Boy, you're not kidding.
They're looking for a party all the time.
Hank is now building furiously on this doghouse. And from the inside, as Dale, Bill watch, it's night by the doghouse. From the inside, we hear Hank say, I've got the back scratcher close to the food dispenser in case Lady Bird wants to scratch and eat at the same time. Then he crawls out. Bill says, Hank, I can give her a good home. Dale says, Lady Bird won't go into her doghouse, and her doghouse is already better than your house. Jesus.
Damn.
All right, so now we're in the Hill kitchen. Next morning, Hank is cooking something. Bobby is taking a million pills. Hank says, maybe instead of 3, you could just take 6 or 7. Jeez, Hank.
That's bad.
Bobby says, whatever, they're not doing much for the dog hair, but watch this. And he puts he puts hot sauce right on his tongue and goes, ah, like it's a trick.
That's crazy.
Peggy says, Bobby, that cannot be good for you. Hank, it is only fair to warn you that tomorrow I am shaving the dog.
I'm telling you, if you're taking medication that allows you to pour hot sauce on your tongue, there is something seriously wrong with whatever
absolutely.
You take it.
Well, you remember the COVID stuff. I mean, that was you could basically do that at that point.
Hey, you know, there was a girl at Baylor that went viral for doing that.
For what?
Just eating just random shit
really?
That you wouldn't just generally eat by itself, like
light bulbs.
Well, not stuff like that,
yeah.
Food items.
Yeah.
But you're not gonna sit there with a spoon and eat a jar full of mayonnaise. But
no.
She couldn't taste it, so she could sit there and eat whatever.
During the COVID stuff?
Yeah, it was during the COVID stuff.
Wow.
I can't remember the account because she doesn't do it anymore.
Man, what a
she just did it for
well,
COVID.
She died, but
well, I don't think she died. I think she just I think it was just something that she was killing time with during COVID.
Yeah.
And she went viral for it, but she was eating
that.
Just like. Bottles of ranch or drinking Worcestershire sauce and
it
just,
cannot be good for you.
But she couldn't taste
no
any
way.
Of it. No, the sodium. Imagine the
oh, yeah.
sodium
oh.
in a bottle of Worcestershire
oh,
sauce.
Oh my God! Yeah,
God,
it's
damn,
almost
your blood
as
pressure
bad
through
as
the
soy
roof.
Sauce. You know?
Yeah, you'd have a sodium
oh,
issue for the
yeah,
rest of your life.
Yeah. She says, "I'm shaving the dog tomorrow." He goes, "She is going out in the morning. Just give her one last night. You know, the allergies won't clear up right away. Lady Bird's dander is all over the house. We're going to have to steam clean the furniture, probably replace the carpets. We'll have to wash or dry clean." And he says it like that, like dry cleaning
yeah.
is such a foo-foo thing. All of our clothes, then vacuum all over. He looks out and sees the luxury doghouse. He goes, you know, Lady Bird hasn't gone in the doghouse, so there's no dander in there. The air filter would work better in a small room. And for less than the cost of cleaning the house, we could pay to have a second TV and hooked up to the cable. Peggy says, Hank, the dog is not getting a television. He goes, no. Peggy, don't be silly. What I was thinking is Bobby could live in the doghouse. That is a big move there, Hank.
That's crazy.
Stick your kid in a doghouse.
madness that
Bobby
that,
and Peggy both kind of look at each is. Other. He goes, yeah, that'll work. Bobby's only 13. He's young. It'll be fun for him. But Lady Bird is 13. She doesn't have much time left. She's set in her ways. Yep, that works all the way around. Lady Bird, Daddy's got your din-din. And we realize that what he's been cooking on the stove is supper for Lady Bird.
Yeah, Lady Bird's supper. There's a lot of pet owners that do that.
I know.
They make their – well, it's actually cost-effective, too. Yeah.
My buddy Melvin, he and his wife make all their cat food.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Well, it's cost-effective,
too. I'm not doing that.
Well, from what I understand is it's cost-effective, but I don't have the time.
I'm going to keep them outside, and they're going to eat cheap dog food.
Yeah, I don't have the time for that part. But, yeah, a lot of people do. There's a buddy of mine that has, like, a little Frenchie, and like he always posts the dog's meal. Yeah. Oh, but he always posts the dog's meal, and I'd be like, man, that looks great. What are you cooking? And he's like, oh, that's just the dog food. I was like, damn, this dog is eating like it's like five-star quality restaurant food here.
Got a squirrel. All right, and speaking of dog food, this is the first commercial break. We'll take that, and we'll be right back.
Snack Attack is a podcast about the history of your favorite snacks, candies, and treats. Each 5-minute or less episode features the history of a great snack from around the world. We'll also visit what the status of the snack is today and give you a little knowledge to lord over your friend. Snack Attack is available anywhere you get your podcast or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's get snacking!
Step into the unexpected with Cultastic, or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying. A podcast where cult creation unfolds in the most unpredictable way. Join us on a unique journey into the world of theoretical cult formation. Unlike any other podcast, each episode of Cultastic is co-written in part using ChatGPT, and we let it decide our fate, good or bad. What makes Cultastic truly intriguing? We don't know what's coming each week. Together with our AI co-author, we'll discover and build this cult, one episode at a time, exploring various aspects of cult dynamics, leadership, and group psychology. Delve into themes of charisma, influence, and the power of group thinking. It's a blend of expert analysis, theoretical exploration, and the unforeseen twists of AI-generated ideas. Remember, Cultastic is an exercise in imagination and education where we weave a narrative one episode and one tenant at a time. Curious about where this journey will take us? Subscribe to Cultastic or How to Start a Cult Without Really Trying on your favorite podcast platform or at roguemedianetwork.com. Let's build this mission to save the people of Earth week by unpredictable week.
All right, and we are back.
And we're back.
We are out at the doghouse. Bobby is inside this doghouse. Hank says, it'll be like Tom Sawyer, Bobby, but instead of a raft, you'll have a doghouse. Peggy's standing there. She goes, okay, Bobby, you've indulged your father long enough. Now get out. He's not getting out. He must be stuck. Hank. And then he pops his head out, and he goes, I'll take it. Peggy says, Bobby, honey, I do not know what your father told you, but he has to love you whether you move in or not. Bobby says, Mom, this is the perfect starter home. I like the neighborhood. I want to change schools, and it's Connie adjacent.
He's wild.
Hank says, Bobby's a big boy, Peggy. Can't hang on forever. Bobby says, time to move on, Mom.
Honestly, as a 13-year-old.
I would have taken it.
That would have been cool.
I would have absolutely taken it.
Just depending on the size.
A pool house, dog house, I don't care. I would have taken it just to get out of the house.
I probably would have took it. Yeah. I mean, especially with heated floors.
Well, when I was a kid, my parents closed in the garage, and so that became a room.
Yeah.
A big room, right? Yeah. And so I took that. And it was great, with the exception of the fact that you were on black dirt, and so it would shift a lot.
Yeah.
And I woke up one day, and I had a couple of roaches sitting on my face. That was cool.
Oh, yeah. That was
they would just come in from the outside.
Coming from the outside, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it was a great room until then. Also had a waterbed in there, so there's that. Okay. So Bobby and Connie are laughing. They're inside the doghouse. It's nighttime. Hank and Peggy are at the kitchen table. They're looking out at the doghouse all lit up because that thing is beautiful, by the way. It is a little palace for a dog.
Oh, Artie, he said that he lived in a trailer in the backyard during summers between 13 and college.
Yep.
So he was out back.
I don't doubt that. I knew a guy who used to live in a pool house where there was no pool. We'd go over there and play shuffleboard in his backyard because there was a shuffleboard court
for
some reason.
My dad had a 1963 broken down Ford, and I used to sleep in the cab of it sometimes.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I didn't really.
Well, I had that. I had that Chevy. I can't remember what it's called now. It was a little blue car. I used to sleep in that thing because I put 100,000 miles on it in 1 year. So I would just drive,
That's crazy.
Oh, my God. I would pull it in like behind a dumpster and just go to sleep, you know.
Pass out.
Yeah. All right. So we're inside the doghouse. It's Bobby, Connie, and Joseph. Joseph doesn't say a word, though.
Yeah, Joseph's a little creepy.
Joseph is definitely creepy. Joseph deserves a doghouse. Bobby says, Tony's pizza will do nicely until Dad installs my kitchen grill in the doghouse. Connie says, I stole a bottle of Chianti from my dad. I poured out the wine so we can put a candle in it. I thought that
That's
was pretty
terrible,
funny.
Yeah.
They make the Italian candle, put it on top of the pizza box. Bobby says, you can't beat the view of the alley. She says, yeah. I mean, they're all like looking out the window of this dumb doghouse. They're like,
it's kind of wild.
It's crazy. And number one, you can't even stand up in there.
There's no room.
You know? It's nuts. Okay, next morning, Peggy comes out for the mail. She gets a couple of letters out. One of them says, Hank Hill, 84 Rainey Street, Arlen, Texas. And can you do me a favor? Look up the zip code 78104 and see if that's a real thing. So there's one for Hank Hill, 84 Rainey Street, Arlen, Texas, 78104. And then another bill says Bobby, 84 and a half Rainey Street.
Beeville, Texas.
Beeville. Where is that located?
Let's see. Beeville, Texas. It is way south of San Antonio, even.
Oh yeah.
Let me see the time on here. Probably like 3 hours and 43 minutes from here.
Okay.
So you would go, like,
well, that's a zip code.
You would go like I-35 all the way down through Austin, and then you would hit that toll road to like San Antonio. And then you would take, what is that, Highway 183 and then 80. So, yeah, it's like going towards Corpus Christi, but not quite Corpus Christi. You could take Highway 77 the whole way. Like, you go all the way down Highway 77.
Them, you know?
It's like you're going towards Brownsville and stuff, and that would be like the Rio Grande Valley, down in the valley area.
Somebody must have just pulled a zip code out of their butt, because there's no way
it's funny
that
it's
far,
a Texan one, though.
You know?
It's funny that it's a Texan one.
They probably just looked up Texas zip codes and picked one.
Picked a random one, yeah, because it's definitely definitely not
it just
anywhere
seems too
near
far
the region of the TV show, for sure, because the TV show we pretty much narrowed down to be anywhere in between Dallas and Austin. So,
she sees the mail. That's what she's come out for. Min comes jogging by. She goes, hey, Peggy Hill, Connie want to have Bobby over to play. You have him fixed, right? She goes, I'm glad you find my son's sickness so amusing. If he were living in a plastic bubble, I would be having lunch with Elton John. That makes zero sense, Peggy.
Zero.
But she says, but because he's in a doghouse, big laugh. You know it'd be really funny? If Connie broke her leg. And then she just goes inside and slams the door. It's like, damn, Peggy, you just escalated that like 1,000%. Next thing we see is a sign hanging that says reserve parking for Georgia Bloodhounds only. This is actually now in what used to be Peggy's old office with the water heater. Hank is in there putting up pictures and Lady Bird's sleeping at the foot of the water heater.
I just don't understand why they – that's one thing I didn't get about this episode is if Bobby is outside, why are they like taking over the water closet and putting her in there?
Well, almost immediately they move Peggy into Bobby's room. As her office.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Like overnight. So she says, oh, look, we got a letter from Bobby. Apparently, he can't make it to the Gribbles anniversary party. Hank, people are starting to talk. So Bobby sends them letters from the backyard and says whether he can RSVP to things or not.
Yeah, that's funny.
Which is insane.
Can't make it, sorry.
Hank says, well, let him talk. I say this is good for Bobby. He's learning a little bit about the real world out there in the doghouse. No, he's not, Hank.
Not at all.
And look at you with the spiffiest new office in town. He shows her Bobby's room. It's got her, what is it, a blueberry computer or whatever it is?
Yeah, that Apple thing she's
and
got.
And then it's the big Peggy's neon sign on the wall and everything. So
yeah, Bobby's, from Sugarfoot's. When yeah. they had Sugarfoot, she turned to Peggy's, yeah.
Bobby's entire, and she got her three trophies. Bobby's entire room is now Peggy's office. She goes, he says, well, look at you with the spiffiest new office in town. Love this from Peggy. Yes, it is everything I always deserved. Everything I've always deserved.
Is just your son's bedroom.
She says, but I have turned our son into a stranger. I'm moving back into the closet. Well, if that's what you think is best, I guess I'll set up a ladybird in Bobby's room. Then don't let ladybird, and he whispers, LB, in the room until I'm finished. I didn't really understand that.
I didn't either.
I want it to be a surprise. He's going to try to surprise his damn dog. Bobby now comes out of the doghouse, and Hank's there to give him some mail. He goes, we got some mail for you here. He goes, suddenly everybody wants to sell Bobby Hill a security system.
That's
goes,
funny.
How's dinner on Thursday sound?
I think it's funny that he's starting to get spam mail.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dude. As soon as you move into a place. Oh, my God.
They don't even wait. They don't hesitate at all.
No. He goes, so your mother was wanting to see you. How does dinner on Thursday sound? Thursday's poker night. Stripper comes in at 9. Hank's just like, what? He goes, I'm just yanking your chain. She's over at 8. Just kidding, you know. Then a frisbee hits him, and Dale looks over at him and says, hey, a little help. Bobby says he picks up the frisbee. You can tell he's pissed off, and he's like an old homeowner telling kids to get off the grass. He goes, if I get one more frisbee, I'm opening a store. And then he just goes inside his doghouse.
You know what I used to do in the summer? My buddies played frisbee golf, and yeah. I'm not one for sport. I like the aspect of drinking beer and smoking weed and hiking through Cameron Park.
Right.
So I would go along just for that. I wouldn't even grab a frisbee and play. But what I did do,
like golf,
what I did used to do though is when they would throw their frisbees and they would land in the river, I would jump in the river and I would dive down and I would scoop up like 10 or 15, 20 of them.
Ah, there you go.
And if they had phone numbers on them, we would erase them and they would have like
free
a bunch
frisbees.
Of extra free frisbees.
Free wet frisbees, which is
actually frowned upon in the frisbee community, which I did not know it was frowned upon.
Imagine.
So if any of you are frisbee golf players, I apologize for that.
I was a teenager
at the time.
There's a guy here in town that runs a game store. His last name is a fruit. And he used to sell a lot of that frisbee golf stuff.
Okay.
Man, that guy's a punk. He bought the place, and then he was like trying to get rid of the frisbee golf people, which I never understood.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, why alienate somebody that's willing to spend money in your business?
That's it. I think they were, I think it was one of the categories that they were making the most money on.
Yeah,
he just didn't like it.
He just didn't like the crowd.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
but he also threw out all the Yu-Gi-Oh players.
He said
Yu-Gi-Oh players can't come back. And so they came over to the place that we were at. And
why were they so discriminatory against the Yu-Gi-Oh? What were the Yu-Gi-Oh players doing that the Magic Gathering players wouldn't?
He said they stunk. He said they were always stinky.
You're telling me that kids who play Yu-Gi-Oh smell worse than kids who play Dungeons and Dragons? Or
that's what Fruit Man says.
That's kind of weird because. That whole demographic stinks. That whole demographic has a problem with social skills and things like that.
You know, I was telling you about that documentary we watched. I was trying to explain all the 4chan stuff to my wife last night. I felt so stupid doing it, though.
I had social issues, but I never stunk.
Yeah.
I never smelled bad.
I don't understand how people can't smell themselves.
Like, I played Dungeons and Dragons. I played Magic the Gathering. I didn't play Yu-Gi-Oh.
Well,
that's funny.
Know.
That's funny. That's like because I think with nerds, there's like this tiered system with nerds. So, like, when you start dipping into like – because I played D&D. I played Magic.
Sure.
I played Pokemon.
Yeah.
But when you start talking about Yu-Gi-Oh or – anime, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's a different tier.
Even nerds don't want to hang out with the Yu-Gi-Oh players.
Could be.
Yeah. Sorry if you like Yu-Gi-Oh, but
that is.
Please go take a shower and/or bath.
Fairly accurate. Well, they're shooting cards out of their arm all day.
I don't know. I really think that that's discriminatory. I actually, it's funny mentioning Yu-Gi-Oh. So one of my childhood best friends, he's like this 6'3" brown guy, you know, and it, all the girls always chased him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But little did those girls know that when he was still in high school as a freshman, he was still going to Toys R Us and competing in Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments. And he's like,
you know what the news
and he's not
is?
Like a jock, but he was like a really popular guy in school. And he didn't want anybody, I guess, to know that he played Yu-Gi-Oh. But it was funny because he would, all the Yu-Gi-Oh nerds would be playing Yu-Gi-Oh in the cafeteria. Yeah. And he would like walk by and then look at like somebody's hand and then like lean down and he would like whisper something
he
to
had
him.
The magic.
And then he would walk away and they would look and they would be like, this guy knows about Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah, the Yu-Gi-Oh magic. All right, so he takes her frisbee. Now we're in the doghouse watching TV with Connie, Connie and Bobby. You hear the TV say, Mayor Bridgewater said a financial feasibility. Anyway, it's just like background noise.
Yeah.
She says, you going to hog all that pillow? You know, Bobby, it's covered in Ladybird's hair. She picks up the pillow he's on, and it's got hair all over it. He goes, oh, thank God. I thought I was losing mine. All right, Bobby. Connie says, you're not sneezing or hacking up something gross. He goes, maybe it's the pills. I started taking two of the yellows and half a red. My heart stopped beating funny, and I don't cry as much at school. She goes, so your allergies are under control? He goes, yeah. How about that? But my dislike for local news continues, and he starts changing channels. She goes, I guess that means you're moving back into the house. He Bobby says, I may be well, but I'm not stupid. I'm not giving up this doghouse. You got that? He gets right down in her face.
He's serious about this damn doghouse.
Look at me. Say it. And she goes, I got that. He goes, good. And then the toaster pops up, and he goes, that would be our toaster pastries. I mean, he turns from like mafia bad guy to, hey, our toaster pastries are ready. All right, now we're at the Arlen Gun Club. When it first showed it, I didn't really understand it because there was a big balloon arch over the top of it. But everybody's dressed up. A happy anniversary banner is there. There's a lot of people there, and they're there for Dale and Nancy's anniversary. They don't say which one. As the camera is panning over to them, though, we pass Bill, and he goes, I own my own house. He's talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Says, I own my own house. And then they go to Dale. He's standing there with Nancy, and he goes, hey, everybody, look what the gun club made for our anniversary. He holds up these targets, and they're in the shape of Dale and Nancy. And he goes, after the dessert, they're gonna fire one for every year of congenial? Congenial? No. How do you say?
Oh, conjugal bliss.
Conjugal bliss.
Conjugal.
Jeez.
Which,
I'm telling you, man,
conjugal
shutting down
is what people in prison get.
Yeah, the conjugal visits. Yeah, yeah.
In certain states.
For some
reason. I don't
reason,
think Texas has that. I don't think Texas
no, don't
is one
think
of those
so.
States.
For some reason, letters didn't make
it's
any sense
It's more liberal
to me,
states
all of a sudden.
That allow you to boink while you're locked up.
Dale,
imagine getting pregnant by
oh
a guy who's locked up.
Yeah.
Happens every day.
Yeah. So he kisses Nancy on the forehead. Happens every day. Kisses Nancy on the forehead. all are just like, aw. And he goes, okay, now everyone get into single file for dessert. And they kind of look at him. He goes, single file. And he cocks his shotgun at him. Everybody's like, oh, okay. They all get in single file. He goes, he's talking. Dale is now talking to Hank and Peggy. He goes, I'm sorry Bobby isn't here. I'm sure he'd love the desserts. That's basically a fat joke on Bobby.
Yeah. Chantel on the Instagram live chat said that there's a bunch of horny prisoners in Texas.
Oh, I'm sure.
I imagine so.
If they're not getting conjugal visits.
I'm sure they're hitting each other all day long, so I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of that going on. You might want to edit that one out.
Maybe
put
like
a
that.
Boop on that.
Back boop boop. All right, so he kisses Nancy on the forehead, says I'm sorry Bobby wasn't here, he'd love the desserts. Say, what if I give you one to take home for him in a doggy bag? Everybody just kind of laughs. Peggy says, my son does not eat leftovers. He goes, oh, that's right, once you get them on the table scraps, they won't eat their kibble.
I like all the dog jokes for Bobby.
Very
this
funny.
All the writing for that is just really good.
all right, so now we see Peggy paying the steam cleaners to clean her house. They paid them $350.
That's cheap
to clean
though.
Their house.
Would that be cheap though
well,
for steam cleaners?
Remember when this was too though?
That's in the '90s.
It seems like that would probably
or
be 2000s. Three times that now.
Yeah, but steam cleaning.
I know
that's different than
well, they
like,
did the whole
cleaner,
damn house
right?
too.
You know, that's one of the things that
Stanley steamers
that. they do in England and for restaurants that we don't do in the United States.
They steam clean everything?
Everything has to be able to be rolled out. All of the kitchen equipment has to be able to be moved so it can be steam cleaned. Because you can't effectively steam clean something that's attached to a wall.
Well, it's the best way to get rid of grease and stuff, too. You know, I mean, they do that a lot.
So that's like in their food safety laws over there is everything has to be able to be steam cleaned.
You know, that makes total sense because I used to watch a lot of Gordon Ramsay, and he would go in and fix those restaurants and stuff. And that's one of the things they
would
do.
First thing he would always go is to the steam cleaner thing. Well, one of the first things he always did was go check the overhead grease catches on the stoves and stuff.
Yeah.
And he would go in and look. And some of those, like, I worked in a kitchen where I had to clean it every night, so I know what, like, the expectation is. And he pulls it off, and I know what a buildup looks like for a few days. And their buildup on some of those, those kitchen nightmare stories is like years. Like, I'm surprised that place hasn't caught on
how
fire.
How that grease is like black.
Hazard.
You know, you can't see through it.
Oh, my gosh.
Stuff. Yeah. As the steam clean guy leaves, Bobby comes by with a box full of stuff. Hank is still trying to get Lady Bird into the doghouse. Come on, Lady Bird. Don't make me beg. Please, Lady Bird, be a good dog. He pushes and pushes. He gets nothing out of her. Peggy comes out. He goes, it's my fault, Peggy. I raised her in a real house. Well, I have no choice. And so he takes her on a leash into the alley and gives her to Bill, which is the last.
Oh, no.
It's the last damn thing he wanted to do. And he goes, you'll have to walk her when it's time to go. She won't go in her own yard. Bill says, I'm the same way. Okay, Bill.
Yeah, he goes to the neighbors to piss in the bushes. They look out the window, and there's Bill.
Everything's dead.
Just sitting there pissing.
One circle. Everything's dead. Hank says, and when you change her water, mix in 2 tablespoons of red wine for her heart. He goes, let's be honest. And he's talking to Lady Bird while he's petting her. He goes, let's be honest. Neither one of us is any good at saying goodbyes.
Dog don't give a shit.
I'll see you when I see you. And Bill just kind of takes the dog off.
And that dog don't give a shit.
No.
At all.
Dog, I don't think the dog can even see him.
I think you never see
the dog's eyes.
I think at this point, Lady Bird is being just dragged around on a leash, and she just follows the person she's standing next to.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Whoever's closest to her, she's moving with.
All right, so we are in the Hill House at night, Hank says, Bobby's sitting in the green chair in the living room, just kind of all slouched down watching TV. He goes, all right, get yourself washed up. We don't eat with dirty fingernails. Bobby says, you go ahead without me. I'm just going to order a pizza. He's gotten into this thing where he just does whatever the hell he wants out in his doghouse. He goes, we're having chicken and broccoli. He goes, okay, well, you can have some of my pizza if you want, which I thought was pretty good. Hank says, the only pizza you'll be having is chicken and broccoli pizza without the crust and the pizza sauce, but plenty of cheese because that's the way your mother made it. Is that where did you have broccoli with a bunch of cheese on it when you were a kid?
No, my mom was the actual cook, so all of our food was filled with flavor. Broccoli, it was seasoned, but it was never like it wasn't a regular smothering in cheese.
Yeah,
you had the option, of course.
Oh,
but
my mother,
it was never cheese.
Boy, we gonna have some cheese,
like casseroles and stuff like that. Yeah. I used to have trouble as a kid eating at friends' houses because my mom cooked everything from scratch.
Food wasn't as good. Yeah,
my mom still to this day, every meal she makes, nothing's out of a box.
Yeah,
And that's what she said, is it's nothing about convenience because a box takes just as long as fresh food to cook. So.
I saw a recipe yesterday for a maple syrup fried egg. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Really?
So what I've seen people do is they crack the egg
and
then pour the maple syrup into the egg and then turn the skillet on. So it's all still liquidy, and the maple syrup is like mixing with the albumin and stuff in the egg.
This was,
and then when you fry it, it fries all into
the
egg.
This was almost like I guess you're talking about scrambling up the egg?
No, you don't even have to scramble it. What you do is you like crack the egg into like an unheated skillet, and then you turn your pan on, and then you pour the maple syrup into it while it's all still kind of runny, and it like fuses kind of with it. And
I don't know, man. It sounded weird to me, but I mean, I'm willing to try anything. Once.
Yeah, I actually had I made some bacon yesterday for breakfast.
Yeah,
and then I used the grease and I took the hot grease and I poured it into a bowl and then I poured my egg mixture that I made my own eggs, fresh eggs. We get fresh eggs from chickens, actual like chickens, not a chicken
factory.
Weird
if you get fresh eggs and they're not from chickens.
Yeah, well, I mean duck eggs.
Goat eggs are tough.
Goat eggs. Yeah, I've never eaten a goat egg. and then whipped that up with the grease and stuff like that, and then poured it into the skillet, and then made some bacon and egg tortilla wrap things.
Yeah, that's
I would call it a burrito, but it was like a wrap.
Yeah, well, that sounds good.
It was delicious.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry. All right, so Bobby turns the TV off and kind of follows, but then he presses his face against the sliding glass because he's looking at the doghouse. He just wants to get back in the damn doghouse.
That's it. He just wants to be in the doghouse.
And then later, they're sitting there eating dinner, and you see Bobby pick up his broccoli, and it's just smothered with cheese. And he goes,
smothered.
Delicious chicken and broccoli, mother. Mother. When does he call him mother?
It reminds me of old Mike Pence calling his wife mother.
Oh, yeah, mother.
Hello, mother.
It's gross.
Hello, mother.
He sneezes pretty hard, and he goes, no, I've been down this road before. He's trying, and you can tell that Bobby's just making his crap up at this point.
Yeah,
right?
He is.
Because he just wants to get back out there. Peggy says, oh, my goodness, Bobby, honey, are you okay? Has Lady Bird been in the house? Hank? Hank says, no. Well, Brill brought her by the alley. She gave me her paw, but what am I supposed to do, leave her hanging? That would have been rude. Rude.
Yeah, you can't be rude to the
dog. She says, Hank, you could have dragged Dander into this house. Bobby says, don't panic. There's no need to send me back to the doghouse yet. And then he sneezes several times, but it's all just made up.
That's it.
And then the next thing you see is him going into the doghouse with his plate of chicken and broccoli. He scrapes the chicken and broccoli right off the plate into the trash, picks up the phone and goes, hello, this is Bobby Hill. I'd like to order a large pizza with everything. Bill shows up in the yard with Lady Bird, and Hank sees her and goes, oh, Lady Bird. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, but she won't go in her own yard. And then Hank sniffs sadly, like he's it really impacts him. And that is the second commercial break. We'll take that after a word from Kleenex, and we'll be right back.
And we'll be right back.
Ned Hillsdale, a hard-drinking, foul-mouthed ex-cop, turned private detective in the city of Chicago. He lives dangerously, loves intensely, and drinks harder than anyone. The very things that got him kicked off the force now make him the city's best detective. Set against the low rumble of sad jazz and the hum of underground crime, Ned Hillsdale, Private Detective, is available anywhere you get your podcasts and at roguemedianetwork.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Tony, and some call me Big T.
And I'm Carrie, and we have some exciting news. We have a podcast.
Absolutely, it's called My Husband is a Hunka Hunka Burning Love.
No.
And we'll be discussing some different sex positions overweight couples can easily perform, correct?
I don't think so. It's called I Married an Idiot.
I know, I'm just kidding.
We'll try to stay on task, focus. Did you take your Adderall today?
Really? You're going to ask me that? Are you insinuating something?
Never mind. You may be wondering why we're doing this. We have been together for 36 years.
36 short, long
years.
Freaking years. But we must be doing something right, right?
Well, we must be. But this is where the fun starts.
And you know me, I love having fun. Fun is the best thing to have.
Yes, it is. On our show, we're going to be discussing a wide variety of topics. And I'll give you my opinion, and you'll give your opinion. So please, do not embarrass me.
I'm not going to embarrass you. I told you 1,000 times, but you also need to learn to get some thicker skin if you're going to be doing this.
No.
And don't take everything so damn personal.
No, but you get personal.
Anyway, it's up to you, not you, Carrie, but the podcastee listeners.
The audience,
to decide which one of us is the idiot.
It's going to be pretty obvious, trust me.
Absolutely, totally obvious. Was that a shot?
Of course not.
Okay, good, just checking. So, you know, everybody has an opinion. It's like my daddy always said.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Well, it's true. An opinion is like an ass. Everyone has one, and some are bigger than others, or it went something like that.
Stop. Would you be nice? See what I mean? Tell them where we can be found.
Anywhere you get your podcast or roguemedianetwork.com. Just look up I Married an Idiot. Sit back, relax, and give us a try. I promise you it would be entertaining. And if you want to contact us, you can shoot us an email. Well, I don't seem to have the email at the moment. This is not good. I don't seem to have that at the moment, but we'll let you know, so stay tuned, and I promise you we'll let you know. Sorry.
Really?
Well?
But yes, eventually we'd love to hear your feedback. You can give us suggestions on what topic to cover, comment on our show or an episode, or just drop us a line to say hello.
Just remember, any negative feedback should be directed toward Carrie, and all positive feedback should go to me.
Wrong again.
Hey, babe, look, we got to go. Let's wrap this up.
Okay, just remember to tune in. It's going to be fun. And thanks for giving us a try.
Absolutely. Until next time, peace out. God dang.
I thought it went pretty good.
That went well, not...
I thought it went okay.
Why didn't you tell me the email? Do we even have an email?
You said you were getting the email.
I did not. When did I say that?
You're such an idiot.
Oh, the hell with it.
All right, and we are back. We are in the Hill Kitchen, the vacuum cleaner.
Back.
We kind of hear the vacuum cleaner humming. Whoa. And... Peggy's just got a big old stack of books on the table. Hank comes in and he goes, Peggy, it's like I told you, the crawl space under the house is spotless.
Spotless.
The crawl space. She says, I shouldn't have cleaned this book first. It's too engaging. I can't put it down. Hank tries to empty the vacuum cleaner bag and there's just literally nothing coming out of it. He goes, Peggy, there's nothing in here. We've already gone through the house twice. She looks up, she sees the light fixture. It's one of the, and I have one of these in my kitchen. It's a big square, like recessed light fixture.
Yeah.
And it's
like a soffit, like a drop down soffit.
It's large, bulbs, like what do you call them? Fluorescent bulbs.
We used to call them lightsabers. So when I was a kid,
I hate those things.
They shut down the movie theater on my side of town.
You talking about Shulman?
I'm talking about I don't know what it was called. Yeah. It used to be by the Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, it was a Shulman.
Okay, so whenever they shut that down.
I love that theater.
We were Urban X. We were Urban Explorers.
I went over there after they crushed that place and tried to grab some seats and stuff because you could have taken anything you wanted from that place.
Anything you wanted. And,
but
I'm about to get there too on that point.
Knocked it down.
So we were young. We were like 11 or 12, I think, when it first shut down, like 01, 02.
Right. Yeah.
And we had a buddy who was small enough.
It was closed forever.
Yeah, it was closed for a while. It was closed before then because it wasn't open very long after I moved from the United moved to the United States.
It was there for a bit.
But we had a buddy who was small enough to slide through the ticket window.
Oh, wow.
And
that is a small kid.
He was a little kid. He was
it's
a real
like
little kid.
Ocean's 11 with that Asian guy there.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was like. And he slid through it. And we statute of limitations is probably up on some of this stuff, but
we destroyed
the locks so it could open anytime, so we could go as we want. So we use it as a clubhouse.
Sure.
So we would take the big lights. I got a couple stories from that place actually. We took the big lights and we would just crack them over each other's backs fight with them. There was
like
movie posters we got.
Kind of thing.
I can't remember what happened to all the stuff from it, but we used to have a bunch of movie posters. One of my buddies had taken the speakers, and he had two speakers in the trunk of his car that was from the movie theater.
Holy crap.
And that shit was loud. That shit it would rattle his entire shit
speakers.
Box. It was a shit box.
Oh,
and the speakers took up his entire trunk space and back seat space. And he had it all wired up and everything, and it was screwed down. So his speaker box would literally vibrate up into the air and stuff. It was insane.
Yeah, I liked that theater. It was a Shulman theater.
Shulman. Yeah.
Shulman are three brothers out of College Station.
Okay.
And they would go around and just open theaters in different cities in Texas.
Small stuff. Yeah. They used to do like small towns.
Yeah. We had two different Shulman theaters here. One was over, you know, where the McDonald's is on Valley Mills, that little shopping center behind it.
Yeah.
That was a Shulman when it first opened. Then it became like a dollar theater. And then the one over that you're talking about, Lacey Lakeview, that was a Shulman.
Okay.
and they were fine guys and all, but
it's now a Providence clinic. And you know what's funny? They're about to shut the clinic down.
Really?
Yeah.
I played pool with one of the Shulman brothers one night.
Oh, wow.
Mark. And
shout out to Mark Shulman.
Yeah. Hey, Mark Shulman. For some reason, he always knew me. I don't know when I met him, but every time I would see him, he'd be like, hey, Mike. Okay. And then
I get that all the time, too.
It's
hey,
weird,
Mike.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, Mike.
They
I'm
say
like,
that to you?
Yeah. I'm like, no, it's Rusty, but appreciate it.
But I played pool with him. That guy, he was, I think, the youngest brother.
Yeah.
And they would send him into the little crappy towns to open all the theaters.
So he
and
would
stuff.
Get stuck with all the hard work.
Yeah. He was always griping that his brothers didn't do all the work. He had to come to the town to do all the work and build those theaters and stuff. The only one that I have anything from like that is the Ivy Twin, which used to be right over here at Baylor. When they shut that down, my buddy was assistant manager there for a long time. And so the original Batman movie with Michael Keaton, we must have seen that 25 times in that theater, right? We would just turn it on at midnight and just dance around the theater and tear stuff up, whatever. But I have one of the outside movie poster frames from that theater at my house.
Oh, that's cool.
It's got a Die Hard poster.
I had a buddy that almost broke his back inside of there too.
Really?
It was actually in the Winn-Dixie side because what you would do is you'd go to the roof.
Yeah.
And then you would just go over to the roof access for Winn-Dixie, and you could drop down into it until the homeless people just busted out the windows, and then you could just climb through the window and get in. But we would climb down into it, and where the offices were, back in those days, grocery stores, they would have their offices up on like a second – they would build like a second tier,
so
it overlooked the whole store. Well, it was all just like cheap, shitty plywood.
We don't have any Winn-Dixies
anymore. Yeah, we don't anymore. Yeah. But at that time, that Winn-Dixie, it had like wooden stairs that went up to this – like their floors were just awful, shitty-ass plywood, and there was like a leak that had leaked and messed all this wood up.
Yeah.
And my buddy just didn't even think, and he just like was kind of like jumped down onto this deal, went right through it, scratched his back. He had like a huge scratch all over his back, and then he landed on his back, took all the wind out of him. He was just laying there like this. Like,
oh, I don't doubt that, man.
And he had a huge bruise on his back. Yeah.
Closest I ever came to that is I used to run a beta only video store. That tells you how old I am.
Oh, wow.
And nobody would come in, right?
Yeah.
And so, but there was a liquor store in town that would deliver, Chinese liquor store, and they would deliver. And by the time they got to you, they didn't care how old you were. Just give me the cash.
Just give me the cash. That's all they're worried about.
And so we would order liquor in, and we'd get all liquored up and then go out in the parking lot and do stupid stuff. And one day I decided it'd be fun to strap myself to the front of my buddy's pickup and have him do donuts in the parking lot.
Oh, that's fun.
And then he just stopped, and I went, phew, flew right off and
shattered
my wrist.
Oh, yeah, I imagine
so. Yeah, it was great.
I'm sure you didn't feel it, though, till the next day at least.
Not a lot. The only thing I was proud of is that the cigarette never came out of my mouth, so I was pretty happy.
That's a talent.
That. Yeah, it was
great. I've had a lot of those situations. You know what they say about your arm? Mm. It's one of the best shock absorbers on Earth.
Yeah.
Like as
until
your arm,
it's not.
Because I don't know how many times I've been three sheets to the wind, just blasted, and never spill. Like it's just amazing how you can never spill a drop. It's like
that's
your body is conscious
that's
of
true.
Your drink,
yeah.
So you're constantly like
it's
moving
like being
your
on a
cup.
Boat
yeah, it's like being on a boat. You got your sea legs, and you're just like, but nothing ever falls out.
All right, so she sees the we started this with a light fixture.
She sees the
light fixture, and she goes, "Hank, give me a boost." He goes, "I bet those light fixtures are perfect dander magnets." He brings her a chair. She opens up the drop light, and she goes, "I can't see it, but I know it's in there. Pack your bags, you flaky bastards. Dust mop." bastards. How that's not the quote after the credits, I don't know.
Maybe because it's
because it says bastards.
Bastards, maybe.
All right, so Connie comes into the doghouse, and she sees Bobby, and he's pulling crap out of an old pizza box. And he goes, "Oh, I can't believe it. I didn't eat that last night." And he just starts eating it. She kind of looks around, and it's just a freaking mess in there. There's just crap all over the floor and stuff. He goes, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Oh, I thought I'd clean up a bit." He goes, "I like it the way it is. That's why it is the way it is."
Yeah.
She goes, "You know, you used to have the best looking doghouse in the neighborhood." Well, that's quite an award.
That is an award.
She goes, "Now I bet it isn't even in the top 10. Why don't you move back in? Every night your dad has to watch another man brush his dog. Every time Lady Bird wags her tail, your father dies a little."
I think it's funny that she recognized the scam, and she's like, "Come on, Bobby. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You had your fun."
She knows Bobby.
"You done scammed the shit out of you. You done ate pizza, threw your mom's dinner away.
Well,
you gotta suck it up, Buttercup.
It gets a little worse."
So
he goes, "It was my dad's idea to move me in here in the first place. So just relax. We got a good thing going. As long as I keep sneezing, the lady next door can't say boo." And then another dog sticks its head in through the doggy door.
Yeah.
He looks like the dog from the Little Rascals.
Yeah.
And starts barking. He goes, "No pop-ins. Get out of here. Ow. Just starts barking at the other dog. Connie, needless to say, is a little grossed out.
Yeah, she ain't pleased.
No. Now there's three of them in the alley watching Bill play with Ladybird. So Hank and Dale and Boomhauer are over there watching Hank play, or watching Bill play Ladybird, play tug of war with Ladybird.
Yeah, tug of war.
And
this is funny. This
Hank
this
looks
quote,
at it.
Yeah.
Hank looks at it and goes, "I made that game up. That's our game. I want to play."
Well, there you go, everybody. Hank Hill is the inventor of tug of war.
Tug of war with a dog.
With a dog, specifically with a dog.
Dale says, "Look, those two more look alike week after week. You did that after 10 years." He was like, "Bill looks more like Ladybird now than you did after 10 years with your dog." Boomhauer, "I never seen dang old dog so happy, man. Talk about that dang old life. You know, best friend. You want a beer, man?" And Hank says, "I don't want to associate beer with this kind of pain." So he walks over to the doghouse. Connie also walks up, and she goes into the doghouse and says, "Bobby, I brought you an air freshener because it is gross in there." Bobby is now sitting in this thing in his underwear. He's drinking from a dog dish. Whenever she
he's
says,
going feral.
Whenever she says something to him, he turns around. He's got shit all over his face. There's kibble in an automatic dog dispenser that's falling down that he's eating.
He's getting feral. He's taking the role play a little too far.
And Connie's just like, "Oh, dear God." I mean, she literally gasps, you know, when she sees him.
Yeah, she's getting pissed.
Peggy, however, inside the house goes, yeah, she starts calling Bobby like he's a dog. He comes into the house. All the chairs are in plastic. Everything's gone off the wall. He's just in his skivvies.
Hermetically sealed.
Hermetically sealed for the most part, yeah. Bobby, come on, Bobby Hill, Bobby. He comes to the door like a damn dog. He's still got stuff all over his face. He goes, "Were we robbed? They took the carpeting." Hank says, "Robbers wouldn't do this good a job sanding and triple varnishing the floors." Peggy said, "We cleaned this house top to bottom for you, Bobby. It's clean enough for you to make computer chips in."
Clean enough to make computer
Hank
chips
says,
in.
"Don't be afraid to breathe, Bobby. It's the only way we can find out if we got all the dander."
Speaking of clean spaces, so I had that little podcast that I started with my buddy, and my buddy wasn't able to continue to host it with me, the Video Games Are for Losers podcast.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And our one and only interview was with the Guinness Book of World Record holder for the most Sonic licensed merchandise owned.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, and he had to, when he was doing the Guinness Book of World Record thing, he had to break down his collection because he has it all set up beautifully, and that's where I get to the hermetically sealed part.
Yeah, sure.
So he had to like get each individual item, and it had to be Sega Sonic. It had to be Sega licensed.
Yeah,
it couldn't be like
whatever
made,
because
he had one where somebody had Cinema Savorsky Crystal Sonic.
Oh wow!
And that's not a thing. Somebody either made it or had it made or whatever. Yeah. And so he's got two warehouses, I believe. Or one.
Oh my lord.
On his property.
Full of stuff.
But it's not like warehouses like you think of it being stored like just in a warehouse in boxes.
Yeah.
He's got
it's
one of
like
the
Indiana
most
Jones,
beautiful
though.
Displays. He's got the old glow in the dark carpet that you had in arcades.
Yeah.
He's got the arcade lighting.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Like black light stuff.
They were shutting down the mall in the city that he lived in.
Yeah.
And he went in and grabbed all the arcade signs and everything. This was in the late 90s when he did all this. So he got a ton of good stuff.
But he's got some good
and he
stuff
built his own like arcade Sonic. It's not just Sonic stuff in there. It's all kinds of stuff. But he built this thing. And then I was talking to him about how he maintains the collection and the humidity in the area he's at. Mm-hmm. He's down in like southeast by like Houston area.
Okay.
And I was like, well, how do you combat the humidity and all that? He goes, the warehouses that I built, there's no dust. No dust settles. It's got all kinds of whatever that sucks all the dust out of the air. It's got humidity control. It's able to withstand X amount of wind and storms and hurricanes and all this stuff.
That is a true collector.
Generators.
Right there. Yeah.
He's got like two or three generators. He's got a backup for a backup for a backup. So it'll always have power kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
we need to talk to this guy.
Yeah, I could get in contact
with
him again.
Awesome.
He's invited me to go out there and go check it out. And I just never had to
put a GoPro
I just never
on
had
the walk through it.
Never had the time to go do it. But a real cool guy. He was actually a Coast Guard veteran.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's got this huge tattoo that was kind of, when I first saw it, I had to ask him because it's kind of sketchy, but it's just like a noose around his neck, like big fat noose. And he explained the knot. He said it's like a Coast Guard thing.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, I've never seen a Coast Guard guy with a noose. Like it looked like a noose, but it's not a noose. Yeah. It's like a mooring knot is what he said.
Oh, okay.
And he said it was a joke on his head being he's just a knot, just a mooring knot.
Oh, like a knot head.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so he's standing there in his tidy whities. Hank says, it's the only way we can find out if we get the dander. Go ahead and breathe. There's a long pause, and then Bobby does a very fake sneeze.
Super
fake sneeze, and Hank's just like, damn it. Bobby heads back to the doghouse, and then he overhears Hank saying, I knew we should have steam cleaned the ceiling, but that guy was so damn smug. And in the house, Peggy's just like, oh. Bobby is kind of looking and listening at the sliding glass doors now that he's heard this. And he goes, he hears Hank say, he hears Hank say, sorry, I had a pause.
No, you're good.
Brain fart. Something came up on my phone. He goes, boy, this place sure feels empty. You know, no carpet, no dog, no sun. Maybe I'll just go over to Bill's house.
You're choosing to go to Bill's house?
No shit. Peggy says, Hank, you remember what I told the doctor? You should not even touch Lady Bird. And then pats Hank on the back. He kind of walks off really sad. Now we're at Bill's. Dale is wrapping Lady Bird in plastic so that she doesn't get any dander on anybody.
That's a little weird.
Bill looks at him and goes, okay, Hank, you got 5 minutes. And then you look over at Hank, and he's putting on those long yellow dishwashing gloves so that he can pet his dog. And he goes, I won't say her name because then she'll get all excited and jump up on me. Can't have that. No. She's starting to wag. Dale, quick, tape her tail to her leg. He goes, I'm on it. Tape her tail to her leg. I mean,
that's funny.
You know, Hank may have done this the wrong way and stuck his kid in the doghouse, but he does care about all of this stuff. Like, he's really trying hard not to bring the dander back, not to bust up Bobby's
thing.
Yeah,
he does. He really does
care
about the whole situation. It's just so bad. Just for him, you know, it's tough because it's the dog.
Yeah.
And he loves the dog so much, but he also loves his son. Like, it can't ever.
Sure.
One thing about Hank is,
he may love his dog a little more.
I don't think more. I think different. It's just a different love. I don't think you necessarily, because I personally don't believe in quantification of love. You either love something or you don't. I don't think there's like an in between. You can't just halfway love something. So I feel like it's just a different type of love.
Well, it's a like, right? It's a like, not a love.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He doesn't. I think that he just doesn't understand. I don't think it's that he dislikes Bobby. Even I think it's just that he doesn't understand.
Oh, he certainly doesn't understand.
And he did have Lady Bird first too. So.
That's true. Yeah. So we're
back. Didn't think they could have kids. So
that's exactly right.
And then
they
get one, and you're like, and then it's this kid. So you know,
that's my wife's sister. So they we're back in the Hill House. Everything's still covered in plastic. Hank's reading the newspaper. He hears Lady Bird barking, and he goes, "Lady Bird, no, get out." He runs over there, and he sees Bobby playing with Lady Bird in the hall. Dad, look, I'm cured. I found a combination of pills that work. See? And he rubs his face right on Lady Bird. Hank says, hey, girl, welcome home. You too, boy. And Bobby says, thank you, Dad. And he just rubs Bobby's head like he's a dog.
Well, he was diggity dog there for a little
while. Well, here's the thing. What happened? Where does allergies go?
Yeah, I don't know.
He doesn't have them anymore, or he takes the right number of pills?
Let's see if there's anything.
He says he takes the number of pills, but I don't know. So we get the credits.
Didn't have nothing on it. I don't know. I think that's kind of weird that his allergies are just gone instantly.
Without
the explanation really of odd. What it was that was causing it.
It seems like something that was cut out.
Because it could have been something causing it. I imagine there was another cause, and they just, I don't know, maybe didn't have time for it in this episode.
So we're getting the credits, and Hank is outside of the doghouse, and he goes, you're ready? All right. And they're out there playing around, playing Frisbee and stuff. And then Peggy sticks her head out of the doghouse and goes, I have a client in here. I am trying to tutor, so cool it down.
That's funny.
She goes back in and goes, okay, water. And she says this to a kid. Ends up being Dooley.
Dooley, yeah.
She goes, water. He goes, agua. She goes, perfect, good boy. And then she gives him a little kibble.
Yeah, like a little treat. So Artie really said here that the doghouse had to have grown in size because Peggy was like standing straight up.
No kidding,
So the continuity with the doghouse changed. Or it's a magic doghouse.
It is a magic doghouse. That's what I'm thinking.
That's what I think.
After the credits, we hear Dale say, we all came here to see the opening of a doghouse. And that's it.
And that's the
season episode. 5, episode 16, season 5, episode 5ABE 11. Okay, so it was a decent episode.
I liked it.
It's
not one of my favorite.
Yeah, but yeah, it's good.
I think it's fun. I think it's more of situationally funny than actual.
Oh, sure.
Like yeah. There's not a ton
of jokes in it.
Yeah, just subtle ones.
But still great. Still King of the Hill, still great. Wow. All right, you want to tell people where they can find us
for
more?
Yeah, guys, you could find us at BWAAA, that's A-A-A. 3 A's, BWAAAKOTH.com, or you can go to RogueMediaNetwork.com/BWAAA.
One more A than those alcoholics.
Yeah, one more A
than
the alcoholics.
Just remember that.
We also stream live every time we record. For those of you that don't know, you need to know, and you need to come hang out with us. Thank you to everybody that's hung out with us today. We've had 5 or 6 people with us. We've had, let's see who's here now.
I don't know why I said one more A than
we've got
alcoholics, because it's just triple A.
Joey Crack from
Joey
Love It.
Crack.
Appreciate you. We got Blazy Bread.
Artie
that is still here with us. And we had Chantel Waco.
Waco and Carne. I know that guy.
Yeah, he was watching for a second. Coffee, no coffee.
Don't know that. But thank you.
Anybody else? Michael Mack. I just want to make sure to shout everybody out. I Was In a Box. Shout out. He's been watching us for a long time.
Thanks, I Was In a
Box. He wants to do something with us, too. He wants
That'd
to do
great.
A YouTube video talking about, because he does YouTube videos on animated sitcoms and stuff.
I'd love to. Yeah.
Mr. Atkinson.
Just tell him to set it up.
Strictly Not a 1989. Wow. Vader John.
This is great.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's the consistency. If we do this every week, people just keep watching.
Yeah.
Easy Breezy Beauty actually watched. She came and watched for a few minutes.
So Easy Breezy Beauty, brand new listener.
Yeah, brand new listener. Easy Breezy Beauty.
I want to thank you for being a new listener.
Oh, Chantel's still here. Hey, Chantel. Hey, so, Chantel. Easy Breezy Beauty reached out to me on social media, and I can't look up what she said while we're live on Instagram. But she pretty much said to the effect of she had just started watching us, and she was blasting through our podcast, and she was on like season 3 episode something or
She's
another.
She's on her deathbed.
Perpetual Stew. Is what she had messaged me about. She goes, "It's funny, I just got to your episode about Perpetual Stew, and in the same day," and she sent me the link to it, she had seen a post on Reddit about Perpetual Stew.
Oh.
And so she had kind of mentioned the Perpetual Stew and then sent me the Reddit link or whatever and said that, "I really love y'all's show."
Well, thanks.
I'm just blazing through it. So if you're caught up and you get to hear this or however you're consuming it, we appreciate you again.
Well, hopefully you're blazing and blazing through it. So that would that's the best way
and,
to consume this.
Thank you, Chantel. She said that she likes my coordination of my sunflower hat with my
Rogue Con 23 shirt.
This was from our con at
Rogue
the beginning
Con
of the year last
shirt,
year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And wow, I can't believe it's already 2024.
It's been a while,
right?
Yeah.
You know, we've been podcasting
well,
now 2.5 years.
One. We've already done another one of those things.
We did our second one with a little block party. we're going on 3 years now almost.
That's crazy.
We're getting at the end of this year it'll be 3 years.
Well, think about this. You didn't have a baby whenever we started.
No, and I have one. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I got a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
2-year-old.
Yeah, it's
just
nuts.
Had his birthday like last week.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
He just turned 2.
That's great.
But yeah, so
we had
Hero to Millions. He's watching too.
Oh,
shout out to
Hero
to Millions.
What's
appreciate it, man. And Hero to Millions is the wherever our postcard is.
Yeah, he's the postcard guy?
He's the postcard guy.
Oh, yeah. I love the postcard.
Whenever he gets free time, I told him he's got to come up here and record with
Heck
us
yeah.
on the weekend.
Or
but
we can
I know
do it
that
on
his postal guys
hey,
are
here,
pretty
here's
rough.
What I will tell all of you folks that are live or even listening now. You ever want to come on an episode, you just let us know. We can do a Zoom. We can do whatever. You know, it's fine.
Blazy Bread. I kind of like this. We might have to do this more off this little thing at the end with the Instagram guys. So Blazy Bread says that we're his favorite podcast to bake his edibles to.
Oh,
so
very nice. Yeah,
Blazy
that's great.
Bread. I
Good
like
job.
The name. I like the name. It kind of fits.
Ooh, bread.
Blazy Bread.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Shout out to Blazy Bread. But yeah, so he said he's good whenever. Just let him know when.
Hey, man.
What are you
we'll
doing next Sunday?
Yep,
then?
Next Sunday. Let's go.
Around 12 o'clock.
We'll put you on. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it. Hey, if you get a chance, go to check out the Patreon. It's a $3 thing.
Yeah, check
you
it
can
out.
Help us out. Just kind of keep the lights on for this show. Also, remember that these Monday shows are all video on Spotify and YouTube.
Get it.
So if you don't mind hurting your eyes, you can tune into that and see us in all our glory. I guess we'll be back Friday.
We'll be back Friday for our 200th episode.
Yeah. 2-0-0.
Yep. Oui, Metanye.
Oui, Metanye, indeed.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.